Let me build on that video just real quick before we get to the message today. I was reading an article, maybe some of you guys read it this week as well, but it's a famous female basketball star named Brittany Griner, and she had been in prison in Russia for a while. And she was on her own fault. She made some mistakes, but government worked out a deal to release her, which was really great for her, and she was able to come home. She resumed her life in at WNBA or whatever, and I guess prior she had not stood for the national anthem, but upon return she's been standing, and somebody asked her why. She said, "It just means something different to me now. Feels in many ways like I've gotten older, maybe another way of saying I've grown up, I don't know. But I just look at it differently, it means more." I think in our culture so often we forget, especially if we grew up here, just what a great deal we've got in America, that the freedom that we have to disagree with the government, the freedom we have to worship God in truth, the freedom we have to go here, to fly over there, or to go wherever. We just forget the freedom in this country. And you can look to a lot of other places in our world today, and to be honest, we are still as crazy as our politics are right now, right? We are still blessed to be in a country where we're able to do these things, and we should truly thank God for that privilege, because there's a lot of other places where Christians are being persecuted right now. There's a lot of other places that don't have freedom to go this place or that. There's a lot of other places where they're afraid, literally afraid of the government and what they might do if they cross a line. So let's celebrate Memorial Day in a lot of ways, not just for the ones that have passed, but for all those that were willing to take up arms to defend our country and to defend this freedom that we have. It's a cool thing, even with all the brokenness, right? It's still one of the greatest countries in the world. I share that objectively, I believe. Anyway, today we're going to continue on in this series, When Things Don't Go According to Plan. Has that ever happened to anybody? Yeah, okay. So today I want to do something kind of crazy. I want to kind of finish up on that patient sermon I did 2 weeks ago. I kind of got going. I talked about a lot of things, but I didn't finish what I wanted to say on patience, so I thought I'd make you wait a couple of weeks to talk about it today, right? Truth is, we live in a world today, maybe especially in America, where we really just live in a very impatient culture. I know that's not true of you guys, but have you seen it anywhere? Yes, yes. And I think technology has really maybe part to blame. I don't know. It's like trained us for instant gratification. We want it, and we want it now, right? As quickly as possible. Some people have tabbed the last generation and this generation as the now generations. Everything has to happen when? Now. So I made a list of things that have increased the speed of our lives and how quickly things we get done. And if you can remember when you were a kid, I want you to remember things like you didn't have your cell phone, so what did you do? And you didn't have different things. So I'm going to talk about some of these things and think about what it was like before, just as I go through these. Okay, so things like microwave ovens, okay, cell phones, overnight Federal Express, same-day delivery, emails. I used to have to send a mail, put it in the mailbox, and then you had like 3 or 4 hours to decide if you actually wanted to send it, and you can go get it. And then it took like a week, for them to get it and actually read it and then let you know that they read it. And then if they were corresponding through mail, they'd actually have to send one back, so it could be weeks before you heard back. I know I'm old. Personal computers, fast food outlets, texting, TV remote controls, high-speed internet, TiVo. Remember life when you had to watch through every one of the commercials? That was brutal. We've been programmed to be impatient. We hate to wait. We do. We despise delays. We hate anything that takes us more time. We want it again, and we want it right now. Think about things like in our culture, even. We want overnight success today. I've been working at this job for a week. Where's my promotion? Is one of the stereotypes. Hey. Instant wealth. We want to start with our parents' home that they retired in. There's no more starter homes. It's let's get in debt. Quick solutions to our problems. I think that implicates all of us. Rapid recovery from illness. Why don't the doctors know anything? Why are they still practicing? They've been doing it forever. But even in that, the reality of life still is. There are so many things that force us, that require us to wait. Where all we can do is wait. That's why we worry so much, and that's why we fear so much, and that's why we have so much anxiety, because we're trying to control the uncontrollable. We're trying to speed up something that just won't speed up. We're in the in-betweens of life. And the in-betweens, they stink. We don't like them at all. So it's logical then, as we kind of talk about different things, that one of the keys to happiness is really learning this art or this skill of being patient. A couple weeks ago, we looked at this and how to develop patience, right? Today, though, I want to talk about the why. Why does God say that we need to be patient? Why does God say that we can be patient? We're going to take a look at some different things. If you look at James 5, and that's what we're going to be looking at today, he mentions the word patience or persistence, another fancy word for patience, right? Continuing on, ability to keep on keeping on, those kind of things. He gives us three illustrations, the farmer, the prophet, and the person of Job, as examples of why it's important to be patient through life. And as I talk about this, I'm just going to give you a different perspective to live life. When we're in the in-between, all we see is our belly button. All we experience is the frustration or the pain or the fear or the difficulty. We lose perspective of God in that time. So we're going to take a look at that. And I think as a place to start, maybe one of the chief questions that we need to answer as we go in is to start by acknowledging just this truth. And it's a hard truth. One of the facts of life is that things don't always go according to plan, that life is not always fair. That things don't always turn out right, that there's not always a happy ending. I wish that wasn't true, right? I wish it always ended in an amazing way. I wish we always got the promotion. I wish you always got healed. I wish the relationship always worked out. I wish, for all our sakes, I wish it was different. And sometimes you're just not going to understand why things happen the way they do. You're not going to know why things happen. And a classic example of this is Job, right? In verse 11, it says, "You have heard of Job's perseverance." If you ever read Job, for 37 chapters in this book of Job, God is absolutely silent. He doesn't give him a hint at what's going on. God knows what's going on, but Job doesn't have any idea. God is silent for 37 chapters. And as you read through it, you know it was brutally hard for Job. He was having a really hard time. Understanding a really hard time with the pain, a really hard time with the loss, a really hard time with the embarrassment. But the point that God was making for Job was simply this: when God is silent, I've got to figure out this patience thing. Because patience really is nothing more, nothing less than trusting God, trusting that He's got us. Trusting that He sees, that He knows, that He loves us. Trusting that He's working. Trusting all of those different things. It's trusting God even when God doesn't give us the answers to why things are broken right now. But maybe then the question becomes, why should we do that? You know, if God doesn't tell us the answers, if He doesn't tell us why we're suffering, why we're struggling, why in the world should we be patient? You can even almost hear that kind of rationale coming up from us when we get frustrated. So God gives us three perspective givers, three reasons why we need to be patient. And here's the first one. God is actually in control. Do you believe that to be true? You know, it's an interesting thing when I say, do you believe it? Do you know it to be true? Yeah, we know it. No, it's in the Bible. Here's the other word for believe, trust. Do you trust that it's true? Because if you could trust that it's true, knowing that all peace comes from trusting the promises of God, trust that God's in control, would it give you a different perspective and a different strength to live life? It would. Verse 8, it says, "Be patient and stand firm because the Lord's coming is near." I want you to notice the words, "the Lord's coming." It's interesting that three times in this passage, it says that Jesus is coming back again. The Bible actually talks more about Jesus' second coming, which hasn't happened yet, than it has His first coming on Christmas over 2,000 years ago. So why does James bring that up in this context of talking about patience? I mean, what in the world? And the answer is because the second coming of Christ is the ultimate proof that God is in control, isn't it? That doesn't matter what the headlines say about Europe or Asia or South America or Canada or Africa or China or Russia or all the mess that's happening in our country. God is in control. History is moving toward a climax. That's what the Bible says. Everything's on schedule then. God has a plan and a purpose. History is really His story. And He is. He's moving it toward the end. Phillips' translation says, "Resting your hearts on the ultimate certainty." So the first reason to be patient is that God's in control. I was trying to think of some examples this week about that, and I was remembering when I was a kid, and my dad liked to mess with us, so when we were going on up on mountains, and you're going around in circles like that, and back in the day, they didn't have as many guardrails along the sides, and so you drive kind of toward the edge of the thing, and I'm looking straight out my window, straight down toward this cliff, and I'm like, "Dad, are you still paying attention?" You know, and he's like, "I'm in control. I got this. Or we'd be on a bridge, you know, and you'd just be looking out your window straight down at the ocean. And you're like, "Dad, you paying attention?" And your dad's like, I got it. Or I was thinking about one time I was on the boat with my grandpa and the storm started coming up. Waves were getting huge and the rain was coming down. And I was like, "Grandpa, the house is over there. Why are we going this way?" And then we're going this way. "Why are you doing that?" He's because if we went straight, the waves would tip us over. He goes, "But don't worry. I know exactly how to get there. I know exactly which way to go. Trust me, I got this." Or even this article I was reading the other day, they were saying, you know, imagine back when you were a kid. Imagine there's ice cream waiting for you at home or a big cake. Maybe it was your birthday or whatever. And you just want to get home as fast as possible. "Mom, Dad, go faster. And all of a sudden they're slowing down. And you're like, "What in the world's going on?" And Dad goes, "Well, the red's light, or the light's red, right? There we go. The light's red, or there's cars in front of us. I got to slow down for a little bit, and then we'll go fast again. How about that?" But we can't see anything. We're in the back seat. All we know is we want to go faster. But Mom and Dad, they can see through the front window, and they know what's ahead. They can see the different dangers that lie there. They know how to get us home safely. Again, they're in control. I think sometimes we forget that God can see all of time and all of eternity at the same time. We can actually see the future that lies before us. He can see the dangers that are in front of us. He sometimes has us where we are to protect us. He has us sometimes where we are because he hasn't prepared that other person for us yet, for waiting to meet that loved one, right? Sometimes there's purpose. All the time there's purpose for that in between. Think about it on a personal level too. God has a purpose and a plan for your life. He just does. He talks about it in scripture. We've talked about this a lot of times here. And when you're tempted to be impatient, you need to remind yourself that even though it's way outside of my control right now, and I am freaking out, it's not out of God's control. Maybe I can't do anything about it, but God can. So I need to be patient. God's got a greater purpose for my life than the problems that I'm facing. No matter what problem you're facing, God has a greater purpose behind that problem. That purpose is greater than any problem that you'll ever face. In other words, God knows exactly what he's doing, exactly where we are, and he's working all things because he loves you. He's got you. So you need to be patient. That's what he says. In God's timing, I'm going to share some things here that are really hard to hear, but they're true. God's timing is perfect. Do we believe that? You know, I struggled to believe that when in my 20s. You know, I sure that's when I was dumped, right? But when I met my wife, I knew why God had waited. I actually could look back and see how he was preparing me for her and her for me. It was crazy the things that had to happen for me to even meet her, but God knew what he was doing. His timing is perfect. God's never late. That's another one. A delay does not mean a denial. God is in control. A delay never destroys the purpose of God. Is that helpful as we watch the news? Be patient, then he says. Trust me, he says. I'm in control. Why else does God say we should trust him? Scripture says also because he rewards it. God rewards patience, actually. It says in verse 11, "As you know, we consider blessed those who have persevered." So note the word blessed here. He's saying that it pays to be patient. It's profitable. It's more profitable to be patient than impatient. Anybody disagree with that? No, because we've all experienced it in life. We wish it was different, but it's not. There are tremendous benefits if you learn to develop patience, God says. Many more blessings will come into your life if you are patient, if you persevere, if you keep on keeping on, even when it's hard, even when it's difficult, than if you're impatient and try to force things. For instance, you'll be honored by other people because nobody ever honors the impatient. They honor the patient. They honor the ones that have persevered, the ones that have hung in there. Are relationships better when you're patient than when you're impatient? Absolutely. Think about all the dumb things you've said in your impatience. Think about all the dumb things that you've done in your impatience. So you'll have better relationships. You'll have more honor by others. It builds character in your life. There are all kinds of rewards and blessings that come to you. So he says, be patient just for the blessings that come. But it's not just life that makes the difference. It's also an eternity. There actually are eternal blessings when you're patient. The Bible teaches that every time somebody ticks you off or irritates you or criticizes you or puts you down, when you respond to that in patience, when you don't retaliate, which is the American way, the Bible says you're storing up treasures in heaven every single time. In Matthew 5, verse 13, 14, it talks about that. It says, blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad because great is your reward in heaven. Look at the words reward in heaven. So when somebody at work attacks you or criticizes you or puts you down, somebody at school or somebody at home irritates you, calls you a name, and you don't retaliate, God says, I'm going to remember that one. That one counts, right? And it helps you store up those treasures in heaven. Every time you're patient, you're building up rewards in heaven. Great is your reward, he says. So there's a famous author and pastor named Chuck Swindoll, and he was telling a story one time. He was pulling into a parking lot of a grocery store, and as he was getting out of his car, he was a little bit careless, and he grazed the car door next to him, and he felt really bad, but he looked at it, and there didn't seem to be any damage, and then he looked up and saw that the driver of the car was sitting in the car, you know, I guess waiting for his spouse. He's like, oh man, I'm so sorry. There doesn't seem to be any damage, but again, I apologize. So he started walking to the grocery store, and something in him told him to turn around. And as he turned around, he saw this guy get out of his car, walk around to the other side where Chuck's car was, hold on to the handle of his car, and whack it into Chuck Swindoll's car. Chuck said, it was everything that I had in me to not go over there and kill that man. But then I started thinking about the headlines the next day. Pastor kills, you know, other person or man in the parking lot, or worse, man kills pastor in parking lot, right? And he said, that probably wouldn't be a good idea. But again, God sees those moments, doesn't he? He sees the offenses. He hears the criticisms or the names. He hates sin. He hates when people mess with his kids. He hates when people hurt them. God says, I got this too. Be patient with them. Show them grace. Maybe in some way show them a glimpse of who I am, but don't retaliate. I got this too. Because James says, first you need to patience because God is in control. And if God's in control, then he has more in his arsenal to get even than you do. Is that fair? Yeah. And who's going to do a better job of getting even? Is it going to be God or you? Probably God. Scripture even says that one day he's going to settle the score. So either you can settle the score, or God can settle the score, but God's going to do a more thorough job of it. So he says, be patient. I've seen the offense. I am not mocked. I'm in control. Be patient because I will reward, not just in this life, but in the life to come. And then he gives us one more thing to think about. We can be patient because God is always working. I think we miss this one. Maybe we know that God's in control. Maybe we get that he rewards it, but he's always working. And that's hard for us because we can't see him do it. We don't always know when he's doing it and where he's doing it. And all we know is it's not happening and we're in the in-between and this isn't getting fixed and nothing's happening and we're frustrated and we get angry at him for not doing anything. But God says, no, no, no. I'm always working behind the scenes. God is working it out, he says. Verse 11 says, you have heard of Job's perseverance and have seen what the Lord finally brought about. The Lord is full of compassion and mercy. He wants us to be like him. And says, eventually God settled the score. God solved the problem. God explained the question that Job had and restored everything, took him out of his misery. The point is that God's delays are not God's denials. God is working behind the scenes always for your good and his glory. So while I'm waiting, God is working. I think we need to burn that truth into our minds. While I'm waiting, God is working. It may not look like it. In fact, usually God is working behind the scenes. He's working in ways that you cannot see visibly. But while you're waiting on that uncontrollable circumstance, that unchangeable person, that unexplainable problem, while you're waiting, God is working. You can count on it. And he's working again for your good and his glory. And this is really what the illustration of the farmer is all about, isn't it? While the farmer's out there waiting for his crops to sprout and grow and be harvested, where is God in all of that? Well, he's working, isn't it? A lot of stuff happens under the ground before it even comes up over the ground. God is bringing about a condition that will cause that plant to sprout and to grow and to bear fruit. Philippians 2:13, it says, God is at work within you, both to will and to do his good pleasure. And so what does that mean? You say, I'm a Christian, right? And I love God, but I don't see any growth in my life. I don't see anything happening in my life. I'm in the in-between and I'm frustrated. I've been waiting for this marriage to turn around, but it hasn't. I've been waiting for this financial situation to get better, but it hasn't. But God is working in you. Let me say that again, in you, while you're waiting. You may not see it, but God is working in your life. And one day it's going to sprout and bear fruit. I needed to be a different person when I met my wife. I was a mess in my 20s. There's so much I had to learn about being a man of God. So much I had to learn about being a pastor. So much I had to learn about caring for people more than just myself, right? I had to get outside myself. And God had to chip away a bunch of stuff as I was working through my 20s. There's reasons I got dumped, right? But when I was ready, he introduced me to my wife. It's just an example. There's health examples that I could give you and watching people go through difficult times. There's job situations that I've seen people struggle with and wonder if they'd ever be employed again. There's all sorts of situations. But God's promise is I'm working. Do you trust that I'm working? It's one thing to know, it's another thing to trust. Peace comes from actually trusting him. But just because a plan hasn't gone above ground yet doesn't mean that God hasn't been working the whole time. There's a whole bunch of stuff that has to happen for it to push up and break through that ground in the first place. There's some growth that's not seen before the growth that is seen almost always. In Romans 8:28, it says, "For in all things God works together for good." In all things God works. Even in the bad things, yeah. Even in things that catch me off guard, yeah, because God's never caught off guard. He can see through the front window, right? He sees what's coming. He knows what's ahead. God's never surprised. God saw the crisis before it happened. He's in control. And he will reward patience. He's working it out, he says. He just wants you to trust him. And so often that is the point of the in-between, isn't it? Well, we trust him with everything, even when it's hard. As I said a few weeks ago, patience is a form of faith. How long can you wait? That's one of the marks of maturity, isn't it? Kids can't wait at all. They want it now. They're immature as a result. But as you mature, you realize that there's a difference between no and not yet. So you wait, because you know that in all things, God is working. Even in things I don't like, God is working. Even in things I don't understand, God is working. Even in things that he doesn't explain to me, God is working. Truth is, I don't know what your problem is this morning, but I do know this, that while you are waiting, while you're in that in-between, God is working. And his call is, you just need to trust me with it. I've got you. I love you. I see. Some of you are dealing with unexplainable problems. Maybe you feel like Job's twin, right? And you're saying, I just don't get it. Why me? This doesn't make any sense. Why is this happening to me? What do you do in those kind of times? You remember. Remember that God's in control and that he's got you. You remember that he's working all things for your good and his glory. You remember that God rewards patience in your life, and you wait then. Confidently, and you wait quietly, and you wait expectantly to see what it is that God will do. These are the perspective givers, right? But they would change everything if we could take it beyond knowing to trusting. If we knew that the not yet meant that he was working something down the line that was better, would that make a difference? Should. Would it make a difference is if it was beyond your control and you thought you were going down in flames, and yet even in the midst of that, God was working? Does he work even when it's our fault entirely? Yeah. Does God, it was God's will that we do that sin? No, he hates sin. He hates when other people sin against us. But he promises, I'll work even that, turn it around, and make something good from it. I've got you. I love you. You're mine. Trust me, he says. And all God's people said, amen. Let me pray. God, we love you so much. And you know, as we talk through this whole idea of when things don't go according to plan, you just described everybody's life here. We just wish it was different, but it's not. In those in-betweens of life when we're experiencing, it's not. We get frustrated and we lose focus and we lose perspective and we get angry and we get frustrated and we get scared. And we're miserable. We are miserable in those in-betweens when we lose sight of you. So this morning, God, send your Spirit to us, empower and remind us that you see, that you know, that you're in control. And let us cling to that. Remind us that you reward patience and perseverance and keep on keeping on in this life, to not give up, that you reward that not just here but in heaven. Remind us that you're working, even when we can't, even when we don't know what to do, even though when we're scared to death, that you're working all things for our good and your glory. Remind us, God. And as we're reminded, may we trust it. And may that give us peace and joy and strength in the in-betweens. We pray that in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen.